This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. I just wanted to share a quick testimony with you before we even get into the Word, and I was so excited. Some of our leaders called me today, and they said, there is, because we've been praying about how do we just be a blessing to some of our members that are out of work, that need food, that just need a little extra help in this time. And we were talking about it, some of us in the body, how do we do that? And so while we were praying about that, while we were thinking about that, today something happened, and there was food that was miraculously supplied. Somebody contacted us, and we contacted them back, and through a chain of events, there was food supply that was given to us, and we were able to bless those that were in need. And that's what the church is all about. That's what being a body is all about, is being there for one another. You know, that's what the early church did. That's the model that they set for us, that they were concerned about the needs of others. And as we prayed, God supplied. As we began to believe and trust that He is Jehovah Jireh, He provided everything that we needed. And I know that He's just going to do more and do more and do more as we put our faith and put our trust in Him. Amen. Amen. So I want to thank God I got Pastor Corinne with me tonight. And this was something real special that I wanted to just share out of the book of Mark. Mark 7, 1 through 13. So if you got your Bible, grab your Bible and let's go there. I don't know who it is, but I came in, and I guess somebody that has access to the church. There was like some brand new tea that was right beside my keyboard, and I just want to say thank you. Bless you. This tea is really good. It's really good tea. All right. That has nothing to do with the teaching tonight. Let's go to Mark 7, 1 through 13. Mark 7, 1 through 13. Let me just read it for you here. And it says, one day, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They noticed that some of His disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, do not eat until they have poured water over their cupped hands, as required by their ancient traditions. Similarly, they don't eat anything from the market until they immerse their hands in water. This is but one of many traditions they have clung to, such as their ceremonial washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of religious law asked Him, why don't your disciples follow our age-old tradition? Why do they eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony? It's almost, I feel like we have a hand-washing ceremony going on right now in America. Jesus replied, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. For you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition. Then he said, you skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own tradition. For instance, Moses gave you this law from God, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father and mother must be put to death. But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give God what I would have given you. In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents, and so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition. And this is only one example of many others. So tonight I want to look at this because it's really important that we don't allow some of the methods and some of the things that we do and some of the things that we're comfortable with as Christians to get in the way of actually the commands that Jesus has given us. Mm-hmm. First, we see that these men are coming from Jerusalem. They are Pharisees. There's teachers of religious law. And so they're coming from a mental framework of tradition, of culture of doing things in a certain way. And they're also coming from a position of pride. I think sometimes if we don't watch out as Christians, we can begin to get a little prideful, like we have it all together, like it wasn't Jesus that fixed us when we were broken and messed up. And so we have to remember that these men come, they come with a mentality of pride, religion, tradition, and they are looking for faults. I find that when we start to get a little prideful, we begin to look and begin to fault find. They find fault with the disciples. If you're looking for faults, let me tell you something, you're going to find them. It doesn't matter where you are. If you look hard enough, you'll find something that you disagree with. You'll find something that I think this is out of place. My opinion is this should be done differently. And so it's important for us as Christians to have a spirit of grace, to have a spirit of grace, not to go forth fault finding. And they make the mistake of confusing ritual with sin, because this was the ritual that they had. This was the way they did church. This was the way they did religion. This was the way that they did, you know, being a believer. But it wasn't necessarily a command that God had passed down. And so it's important that we know the difference between the methods that we've used and the commands that God has given us.
I agree. And I think even with when you look at the difference between somebody who is, you know, recently converted versus somebody who's been a Christian for a while, a follower for a while, or has grown up in church, you can see the difference sometimes in the way of thinking, because it's easy to fall into this familiarity. Like if you hear a scripture over and over and over again, you know, you can become familiar with that. And I think we have to work within ourselves to have the fresh eyes and ears that the Spirit is wanting to give us, so that after we hear something repeatedly, it continues to speak life to us. It continues to be a fresh revelation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you see somebody who's been at it for a while and they get kind of caught up in the rhetoric or caught up in just saying something because it's the right thing to say, mm-hmm. but it's not appropriate for that moment, you know?
I think as human beings, we are formulaic. We search for a formula. We search for a method that we can lock into that method and achieve a certain result. Right. Well, it's no different when we come to Christ. Sometimes we superimpose that thought process on top of our Christian walk. And so we think that we can just, I can add this and I can add this and I can add this, and I make a formula and now I am a Christian.
Yes.
But God oftentimes, I mean, as we see in the embodiment of who God is upon the earth, Jesus, he comes and he's breaking everybody's formulas up. He's destroying the box. He's so far out of the box. He's outside of the box, stomping on the box. And of course, negative traditions are traditions that hold people back. And so we have to realize there is something inside the natural part of us that always seeks for something to be a formula.
Yes.
That we can reduplicate. And what I found is, as powerful as God has moved in the past in our lives, mm-hmm. God doesn't do the same thing twice. He's a creative God. We see that in Genesis. He's creating, and no two species are exactly the same, and no two plants are the same, and no two people are the same, and God is creative. Well, it's the same when he's moving. His spirit moves are different. You know, and even every season that he's taken us through as a church has been different. There's been different components, different key players involved, different type of spirit and different type of thing that God was bringing about. And so I think it's important for us not to try to put God in a box, not to try to say, God, you have to move within this method. God, I can summon you by doing this formula. But Jesus is saying, be careful of these traditions that are distracting you from God's commands. I think that's so key. What rituals and church traditions do we need to make sure that are not keeping us away from God's obeying God. Obedience is the key factor.
Right.
It's important that we never lose that heart that we're obedient to God, not trying to make it a formula or a method or a
right.
plan.
I really, my attention is drawn to verse 9, and I'm reading a different version.
Mm-hmm.
I use, this is kind of funny, with the kids, I read the International Children's Bible, which they really like, you know, make it simplified for children to be able to understand. And I think sometimes we need to come back to that. Faith like a child, let's hear like children. Verse 9 says, then he says, you skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold your own tradition.
Yeah.
You know, I think that this can also be interchanged with our own agenda, you know, because we cross over into like sometimes, whether it be something cultural, like this is the way we do things, this is the way I do things, this is the way I think or I believe, but it ceases to then be kind of what the filter of God and what he's wanting to do. I always say, you know, kingdom culture trumps any other culture. Like we have to follow
absolutely
what God is saying in the moment. And so, you know, whenever I hear that or this other one where he says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I think that's so sad. It grieves my heart when I see.
But it's easier. It's easier
to happen,
you know, because a lot of times we lock on and we say, oh, that's a Pharisee. And we try to put that 2,000 years in the past.
Or but
we
it's try here to, today.
We try to put that in an extreme case today. But how did these people that loved God end up at a place where Jesus calling them hypocrites? Other translation says pretenders or
right.
play actors.
Right.
He's calling them pretenders. He's calling them out. And he's saying, your lips, you're the very people Isaiah was talking about. Your lips, you honor me with your words, but your heart is far from me. How do we get there? But it actually is more common than we think.
I think it goes back to our agenda, where our heart is. Are we here to bring light to darkness, or are we here to point the finger? And I wasn't going to share this. I was not going to touch on this. I have actually avoided this topic for a very long time. But I believe the Spirit is leading me to this. We have to be so careful with what we say about the leadership of the country. Because in essence, we can walk in this right here. We can walk in because some people are speaking out of their affiliation or agenda with political parties. And I think that that's something.
The kingdom is bigger than any political
yes,
party. It's bigger than Republican. It's bigger than Democrat.
It's
bigger than independent. It's bigger than any other thing that might come up in the future. God is bigger than that. And
yes,
as kingdom people, we have to be bigger than that. And we have to keep on coming back to whatever the word says, not whatever our tradition, not
right,
whatever our custom is. You know.
And we can't always come with this sort of righteousness ready to cut somebody or something down. You know, I was grieved when the pastor in Orlando was arrested and there were believers that were saying stuff like just
yeah,
attacking him. I'm like, this is not the time. I was taught if you do not have something nice to say, keep your mouth closed. You know, there's times for us to just pray about things, but we should not be tearing others down in the name of, well, of doing something righteously, you know?
I'm always cautious with people that are railing. They're out there railing. Because there is an arrogance when you rail, because you're assuming that you understand all the nuances of what's going on.
Right.
Whenever you rail, there is an assumption. There is an assumption that you understand everything. So that's why when I hear something like the news from the pastor, which I'm not direct friends with him, but I have friends that
right,
that are friends with him, I want to let me stop. Let me get all the facts before
yes,
I reach a conclusion. And even once I have the facts, let me move forward in grace, because I don't know specifically what God has told him. Maybe God told him something. Now, that was not my conviction. That was not what the Holy Spirit told me to do. Holy Spirit told us to let's be safe right now in the season. Let's keep everybody safe. But that very well could have been us. What if God gave us a strong word to do something different or take a faith stand? You know, we have to move forward with grace, that a grace of the mystery of God. There's a mystery that, you know, the Bible says he works in mysterious ways. Sometimes he'll have one person do this and he'll have one person pursue their faith in a totally different way. And so, but he causes it to come together in his time.
I was just reminded, the Bible says that the spirit of the Antichrist is among us. And the way that that works is the enemy is the accuser, right? He's the accuser of the brethren. And he sometimes will sneak in between the words that we speak and begin to use us as accusers. Whenever you have a heart check, that's I call it a Pharisee check. Am I coming in a spirit of accusation, or am I coming in a spirit, of edification? Jesus, everything he did was through the lens of compassion and love. When we come at something out of anger and accusation, we have to check ourselves. That's not the spirit of Christ.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what we want to keep ourselves from veering off and being in the zone that these gentlemen were in, where Jesus called them hypocrites, play actors, pretenders. And, you know, that they were honoring God with their words, but actually they had missed the important heart issues. They had not discerned accurately.
Yes.
When we do this, it says verse 7, when you do this, your worship is a farce. Wow, that's so powerful. It said, man, when you are honoring tradition or honoring culture or honoring methods or honoring, you know, a framework of thought above what God's commands are, your worship actually becomes a farce. Other translations say you worship me in vain. Or you worship me, your worship becomes vanity. That means it's all about the looks. It's all about the image. There's no substance there. It's just something that looks right or looks pretty or looks like everything is in order. You know, like Jesus said, and Jesus had an ongoing issue with people that had this thought process. He said, you're like whitewashed tombs. Everything is so nice on the outside, but inside it's decaying, it's falling apart, it's dying.
I think that's a great crossover into modern tradition, because we have a lot of modern traditions which it's strongholds that exist today. I think sometimes we think of traditions as things that have happened in the past, but there's stuff today that people hold on to that they think, well, this is it, this is the thing that's going to get us there. And then when you look, you see, well, this isn't by the Spirit, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's a lot of innovation that's happened within the church, and you know, we've obviously graduated to more stage presence and lights and things like that that are a great blessing. But I think when people start to look at those things as, we need to have this to be relevant, we need to have this to be you know, to be able to connect with people, and I, you cease to use the Spirit.
Sometimes being relevant has become the new tradition.
Yes.
That sometimes is more important to some people than actually what the commands of Christ are. So there's old tradition, there is modern tradition. Tradition finds a way to try to creep in. My dad would always say when he's preaching, first there's a move, then there's a movement, then there's a monument. You know, and that's the way people move oftentimes. There's a move, the genuine move of God's Spirit. Then that move becomes established. It's a movement. There's real energy and life behind it, and it's at kind of the top point of what God is doing with it.
Right.
But then some people, they never go on to the next move that God is doing, and they just try to build a monument around what God did. And that's great. I want to celebrate what God did, but I don't want to live in the past. I want to live where God is now. I want to be in the move.
Yes.
Move, movement, move,
yes.
Movement. I want to stay moving, because whenever I build a monument, I'm choosing to stay there. You know, for a long, long time, God said, it just needs to be a tabernacle, because you got to understand, we're going to be moving. We're going to be moving. The Spirit is moving, and whenever I say move, you got to move. And so we miss it sometimes when we camp out too long. We make it a monument. We start making our own traditions and customs. Right. And so verse 7, he's still talking about, you know, teaching traditions as commands of God. I think this is like a real a cautionary tale for those that are mentoring other people, those that are speaking into other people's lives. Do not treat traditions the same way that you treat the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have things that have worked for us in the past. We have things that have worked in our lives personally. But if I've learned anything, if it's not in the Bible, don't teach it. If what you're saying can't be tied back to a scripture, forget about it. Do not teach that. Take that and ponder that and figure that out in your own time. But do not try to teach something that cannot be soundly and firmly attached back to a scripture that doesn't come from the Word of God. The Word of God never changes.
Right.
Our opinions change. Our methods change. Our strategies in ministry change. Our budgets with our family change. Where we live changes. So much of our life changes, but the Word of God doesn't change. So when we teach others or tell others about our faith, it should always have a direct connection back to the Word of God.
Amen. And it's so easy to creep in. A good example of this is last night. You can ask my husband, who's a witness in the next room hearing me teach the kids. We were doing a devotion, and it's a Christian devotion. It's a family devotional, and we're going through the devotion. And as I'm reading, I stop, and I say, well, now, wait a minute. I don't agree with this. So the kids ask, well, why don't you agree with it? And then I take them back to the scripture as to why that statement was wrong. But if I didn't know, I wouldn't be able to identify, and I could start believing something that's slightly skewed, but you wouldn't know it. So this is the importance of us knowing our word, because that happens all the time, is people's opinion get mixed into people's own personal belief systems get mixed into things, and that's how traditions become, you know, solidified in people's lives. And so I just want to encourage you, it's not only important to know the word, because there are people that they've grown up in church, or they have been raised in church, or you can even see some PKs and stuff. You know, they know the word, but what is it doing in their life? And I think at the end of the day, what we all have to check ourselves with is the word alive and fresh to us right now? It's not enough just to know it. We have to have the relationship fluid with the Holy Spirit, that it's constantly moving us, constantly growing us, constantly showing us the way, showing us which way we need to go next,
yeah,
so that we don't fall into the trap, mm-hmm, of what we're talking about, of being a Pharisee, of being judgmental, of being these things.
You know, I think that we have to develop, we have to read the Bible and begin to know it in,
right,
an intimate way, like know it, because His word is alive. The Bible is the living word. It's the living word. It's alive. And so the more we read it, the more we're going to see different revelations. We could read the same verses, same chapter, same things, but God's going to reveal new things to us. So, you know, another thing that Jesus brings out, he says, you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition. I think that, there's two ways that this can happen. You can either do this intentionally, like you're just straight up a wicked person and you're trying to manipulate and trick people. Or you can do this because you've just grown apart from God's word. And so you're not even aware that you're substituting. Oh, man. If you don't know how this happens so much in the cultural level. And I'm not talking about anybody's specific culture, although it can happen like that in your specific culture, but I'm talking about in our societal culture, in our popular culture. We will substitute our own traditions, our own culture, for something that is the Word of God. But it's because we have become, let me tell you something, please, please, please take this to heart. I see this way too much as a pastor. Okay, and I sit back and I watch, and it just grieves me. I pray for people, because this hurts my heart, Because people don't know the Word of God, or their relationship with the Word of God has grown distant. They haven't read the Word of God enough. They you know, all of us should be reading the Word of God daily. You know, you might not be able to read huge amounts every day, but read something. Read something every day.
Daily bread.
Daily bread. See, so what happens is we get disconnected, and so it's not that sharp. It's not that keen in our memory. And so what do? Now I'm starting to substitute popular culture for pieces of different things that I should be doing God's way. I start off knowing this is Christ's teaching, so I know a lot of areas. But the less time I spend in the Word of God, I'm going to begin to forget some of those things,
yes,
right?
Right.
Actually, there's the Bible actually says to him who seeks understanding, more understanding will be given. But if you don't seek understanding, even the understanding that you have will be taken from you. This is what the Bible says. And so what happens is we can inadvertently, I didn't mean to do this. This wasn't intentional, but I just, because I've been spending more time with popular culture and with movies and with music and other things, I begin to substitute, this is the word Jesus used, substitute tradition, all right? This is popular tradition now. Popular tradition or popular culture, we begin to substitute it for God's law. So very dangerous. And so this can happen in so many ways. It can happen in a religious way. It can happen in pop culture. It can work in our own culture. Right. We probably all have stories of something. Grandma used to always say this, or dad used to say this, or mom used to say this. And it's in direct contradiction to the Word of God. But we never really took the time to reflect. The Bible talks about meditating on the Word of God. We never meditated and say, you know what? Maybe I should leave that family cultural thing on the altar and pick up what I know I should be picking up. You know, this kingdom principle, this thing. And so I think that's so important. You mentioned it, number 9, which is you skillfully sidestep God's law.
Right.
And I think the only way to get skillful is if you practice. And so the problem is these men that were substituting tradition for God's law, that were teaching man's tradition as coming straight from God, they were skillful at it because they had practiced it. You know, what happens is, I love the words of John Bevere. John Bevere talks about sin like layers of a veil. So the first time you sin, it's like you're aware of it and it really hurts your heart. But then the second time you sin, if you do the same sin, it hurts a little less. And every time you do, it's like you're searing your own conscience. And so you actually become better at sin the more that you sin. These men had become skillful at sidestepping God's law. And so what do we do if we mess up? We repent. And we change our ways. We say, God, I'm sorry, I messed up. Help me do better. You know, a righteous person is not a person that doesn't fall down, doesn't fail, but they get back up again.
Right.
And they say, you know what? I'm not going to do that again. I might make another mistake, but it's not going to be in this area. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to let God help me to do better.
Amen. This is great.
That's it. That's amen. All right.
I loved what you said.
Verse 9, some practice these in substitute sidestepping. Okay, so here's a question. I want to give this to everybody that's listening, all right? How can we, this is a great question. How can we help others before they get too far off track? If we see a brother or sister in Christ, and it seems like they're drifting off into tradition more than God's word, how could we, with grace and with love, help others? So I'm going to look at the comments now. Pastor Crane, you can talk.
All right. Well, we're going to take some questions. Is that what's happening?
We're taking questions.
Okay, yep. We're taking questions.
Everybody said we should take questions. So this is our new section. It's called Questions and Answers.
So if you have a question,
so first I'm asking a question, but you can also ask questions too. So how can we help others before they get too far off track?
I think
speak the truth in love. Marielle says, speak the truth.
Oh, we're asking them. Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Yes. Write it down. Mm-hmm. Type it out, I mean. This is awesome.
Kendi says, remind them of the word.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, a soft answer, you know, when I think about one of the moments I talk about this sometimes mm-hmm. is when I was kind of, you know, I was kind of young in worship leading. And Pastor Corinne and I were not married at that time, but she brought me off to, she said, hey, can I talk to you for a second? And she wanted to tell me something that she felt, something that I was being too rough or something with the team. And so she shared with me this scripture and whatever, but she did it with such a kind spirit. I think we have to be able to correct one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes. And I love what Minister Kendi said, remind them of the word. That's it's hard to argue with the word, especially if somebody comes with kindness and comes with the word of God.
I think one quick little note about that story you just said, one of the things that I started off the top with is that I loved him as a brother. I don't know if I said that as a brother, but basically that I loved you and I wanted to, oh man, this is sounding really weird. Okay. That I wanted to look out for him as in his leadership position. And so it started from a place of love and me trying to help him and not me trying to correct him for something to benefit me. And I think a lot of times we try to correct somebody because we want to change them or, you know, we have some other...
We want to prove that we're... We want to
prove
show
that
we're
right. Yeah.
I like some of these other answers. Great stuff. Sister Francesca, pray and speak the truth in love. That's
prayer
great. She added prayer onto
paramount.
There. That's excellent. And Jessica said, Galatians 6:1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin... who you live by the Spirit,
yep.
You who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. And amen. That's powerful. Sister Pat says, stay focused on God's word. I love that. Show them the written scripture. David, Iris,
truth.
Pray for them and encourage them.
Nice.
That's so great. Is there anything that you would like to ask a question on or for us to discuss a little bit further in these passages, or maybe you saw something in this passage you said, hey, listen, this is a great revelation. Let's talk about that. Start with prayer. I love that.
And go.
Hey, Lisa, good to see you.
Lisa Berry?
Yeah.
Hi,
we don't
Lisa.
Get to see Lisa that much. I feel like we've been seeing Lisa so much more now.
Online,
now that
yay.
People
are thinking of questions right now. They're like, what can I write? What can I type? There's something.
I love this question portion. Who else? Cher. It's good to see you, Cher.
Cher Bear.
All right. If y'all, I have one more question for y'all tonight. What can you do to help guide others around you to God's commands and away from traditions that distract? Okay, I'm going to say it one more time. What can you do as a believer, as a brother or sister in Christ, what can you do to help guide others that are in your circle of influence, that are around you, to God's commands and away from traditions that might distract them?
Oh.
All right, Jessica, when someone is easily offended, what do you do with them? How do you help them? When someone is easily offended, Pastor Corinne, you wanna take that one?
When someone's, well, we've come across people like this. I think we have to
tell you the truth. There are. This is kind of. I find it's like a sliding scale. It's not normally, you know, somebody is. Because whenever you start thinking, oh, this person's got tough skin, they've got something that you can say, and it'll hurt their feelings. Or you know, there's a whole. There's people that are medium. There's some people that are very sensitive. But every gift has two sides. You know, a lot of times people that are really sensitive. And get their feelings hurt easy are also great discerners. They are people that are oftentimes aware of, you know, what you're feeling, you know, or they're aware of what kind of spirits are at work, and they're great, great intercessors, because discernment goes hand in hand with intercession.
Right.
But what I would say, if there's somebody that is sensitive, one big way is just to have conversation. The more that you have relationship, the more that you learn one another. And you'll learn how to be a little softer. They'll learn how to be a little bit more thick-skinned around you. And so I find that one of the keys of working together in ministry, working together in life, working together with other people is just talk. Have conversations. Know those. The Bible says, know those that you labor among. You know, Proverbs says, a soft answer turns away wrath. And so, you know, if you've got something difficult to say, always say something nice first. Always say something nice last. My dad would call that the sandwich. But, you know, I think when we talk more and we know each other more, then there's more understanding. You understand me more. I understand you more.
I think a lot of times we fail to see we're all leaders. You know, it's not just somebody with a title in front of their name. If you're a Christian, you're a leader. And what I'm about to say, it I think is something applicable to everybody. We customize our relationship with everybody. Our relationship, and I'm sure that you can probably relate to this as well, but we customize our relationship with each person. And so there's some people that are on the high spectrum of being super, they tend to get offended easily. And then you have some that are kind of middle. Maybe they're like just kind of halfway emotional and it's easier to manage. But Paul said, I become all things to all for all people, you know, for the sake of Christ, like to bring them into the kingdom. And I think that right there eliminates the excuse of I can't do it. You know, I can't have that type of level of relationship. We should be able. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be patient and kind, loving, gentle, you know, like
when
all the things.
When I hear the word long-suffering, I think about, I think about...
That's a good word.
a great friendship requires a lot of conversations.
Yes.
Sometimes learning each other requires a lot of conversations. And I know that's laborious, but some of the most beautiful relationships, they take work. I mean, anything that's beautiful relationally takes work. You want to have a great marriage? It's going to be a lot of talking.
And sometimes it's about staying away from certain topics. Like if you know they're going to get offended every time about that thing, don't get into it. I mean, unless it's
any more than you have to.
Right. You know? But I mean, use wisdom. The Lord has given us wisdom so we can make good decisions, discernment.
I can't see that. All right. So great question over here, which said, what this question reminded me of my question. What are some of the modern traditions that we should look out for? I think in general, anything that takes the focus off of God, I think, you know, we need to really, really, you know, read and reread the New Testament. You know, this has been one of my things that I've been doing a lot lately, is just drilling down on the New Testament, because I think sometimes we can get distracted with other things, and it's important to know the whole Bible. But the New Testament specifically is very important, because we can get distracted. If you want me to answer that question, Kendi, I think some of the distractions come from us seeking out other things that are outside of the framework that Jesus taught. And so what we're responsible for, specifically in the Bible, is what Jesus taught and things that are connected with what Jesus taught. And so that's important. I think gifts and fruits, anything that violates gifts of the Spirit or fruits of the Spirit, watch out for. If there's a tradition or a methodology of ministry or a thought process that you're developing that would limit the gifts of the Spirit flowing in your life or the fruits of the Spirit developing in your life, those are things that are clearly things that you need to avoid and be able to identify and say, hey, listen, you know, this is not for me. From what I understand of the Word of God, I can't be a part of this type of methodology or this type of thought process. We can love others that are also in the kingdom, and we're working for a common goal. But some people are gonna have traditional hangups, mm-hmm. and it's important for us to have grace as, you know, some people. The revelation may be still being revealed. Maybe God's still working on them. And so maybe they don't have the fullness of the gifts, or they don't have some of the fruits of the Spirit are missing in their life. That's okay. You know, we can still come together as the kingdom of God, as the body of Christ, understanding that some people are a work in progress. But as for me in my house, I'm going to serve the Lord to the best of my ability and strip away any and every tradition that might limit me from my walk being, you know, great before the Lord, and my walk and my ministry efforts being the most powerful that they can be, because I'm stripping away different types of things that might keep me from the commands of Christ and the words of God,
or being where you need to be, or doing what you need to do. I think it's on both sides of the spectrum. It can happen within the leadership of a church where they could put the focus on, well, if we just had this or that, it would make our church effective, it would make our church awesome. And you also have the flip side where it's like, man, if my church would just let us have coffee in the sanctuary, if my church would just do this, if my pastor would do this, then we would grow, or we would do better. I think whenever our focus comes away from the vision of what God has given us and the Word and His plan, then it can become a modern, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. a modern tradition.
Yes,
I love what. Who was it? Cher said something that was really good. When we don't have good relationship, correction feels like abuse. Correction without relationship feels like abuse. Yeah,
yes.
That's what Dad used to say, and that. Man, that's so important. Some of the best correction comes from your closest friends, you know, because they can say it in a way. What does the Bible say? Wounds from a friend can be trusted, you know. And so I always try to, as much as possible, because you can make a correction from a position of authority and leadership, but it's helpful if you have relationship, because relationship oftentimes goes over better. So right. Even if you have authority, you're in an area and you're running it, have relationship too. So it's not just a full, I'm the authority and so I'm making a call or I'm making a correction. When we have relationship too, it causes it to be, that's the salve, that's the oil. Mm-hmm. Amen. If there's no other questions, we'll pray it out tonight. I enjoyed that. Next week we'll have we'll go for question and answer, and everybody will be a little bit more ready. But giving, that's right,
it's
giving.
Offering time.
It's such a blessing to be able to give and honor God with our giving. You know, so we're going to give an opportunity for that. This is a time to just have a faith stance. I believe, like, you know, there's times when we're tested, there's times when we're uncertain, but Whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in this season, not just tonight, but in this season, be obedient to what God is saying to you. Because sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit will give you a strategy for giving and other things with your finances that will, it'll be something that you didn't even think of. You know, God gives us ideas. His creative finances, his creative provision is far beyond what we could ask or think. And so I encourage you, don't give up faith. Don't give up hope. Maybe you're in a difficult financial position tonight. If that's you, just give what God tells you to give. And as long as we're moving forward in obedience, God is going to provide. As long as we obey him in whatever it is that he's asking us to do, the provision is going to be there at the end of the day. You know, even as leaders, like I said in the testimony, even as leaders, there were some things we wanted to do, but we were trying to figure out where the resources were going to come from, you know, because everybody's on limited budgets. And a lot of times people are on limited budgets. So even the church is figuring some things out right now. And so we're like, how do we do this? Well, we could do it this way. We could do it that way. And God provided. And so I just want to tell you, God is a provider. So let me pray over you as you give. You can give to 77977. You can text to give, or you can give on the website hopeunited.church. God, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's giving tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, that you'd bless them according to your word, God. Lord, we are not held by the finances of the world. We are held, Father, by the kingdom finances, God. We're a part of your kingdom economy. And so I thank you, God, as we give and as we're obedient and we follow whatever leading and guiding that you give us, God, we know that it's all going to be taken care of. We're going to have more than enough. So I thank you, God, that you bless, God, each and every person, Lord, even as some might be worried, even as some might be wondering what tomorrow holds. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would provide. God, you would provide, Lord, those even that have lost jobs. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would provide, God, new jobs. You would provide new income. You would provide new revenue sources, God. You would give new witty ideas, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh. I speak your provision upon your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Have an awesome
night. We love you guys.
We love you.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.